Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I'm going to cover a topic. I haven't really given a title. Let's try to title it up here. We're going to call it, What's the Difference Between People Who Fail and People Who Succeed? What are the telltale characteristics of failure? I think it's probably a better title. Let's try that one. What are the telltale characteristics of failure? Now, before we get into those telltale characteristics of failure, I want to read you an email of someone who has just sent this to me the other day. I think it's a day or two old at the most. And it's a rather motivational piece. Let me go ahead and read it to you. In fact, I'm not going to give out the guy's name if I don't have to. Because he didn't tell me I could read it on over the air. So it reads, I retired today. Get that. That's a great way to start an email, right? I retired today. Boeing offered me a sweetheart deal and I took it. Special thanks to you, Terry Gilblair, David Fisher, and the fine people at Lifestyles Unlimited. Listening to your radio show as I drove home changed my life. Without LU, my life would have been one of quiet desperation. My plan was to work until I was 70 to max out Social Security and my 401k. You helped to understand how money works and how to manage wealth. I became a preferred member in 5/12/2019. So let's see, when is that? That's about a year ago. And I have deployed $350,000 into four deals. More capital will be deployed in 2021. The distributions have started, and more are coming. That's distributions on his investments. Growing up in Buffalo, New York, my parents spent their lives growing a pile of money. They retired and did everything they could to not spend it. My retirement will be one of wealth management. My wife and I will live below our means and grow our wealth. And then he says, after COVID, I hope we can all meet together for an event. Then he shows pictures of him skiing, his wife skiing, and then their motorhome. So traveling around the country. So why can't everybody write an email like that? I mean, why is it that this guy comes in a year later and retires instead of going to age 70? Why is it? Because he listened? Because he followed the plan? And today, I want to just sort of pontificate a little bit and not really bitch and moan, but really just retroactively pat myself on the back for something that I started 6 years ago. 6 years ago, they hired a coach for the Texans, which is the Houston Texans football team, and his name was Bill O'Brien. 6 years ago, I watched this guy, and I never felt comfortable about him from the very beginning. Just his demeanor and the way he dealt with life, the way he dealt with people, his answers to questions. But I didn't condemn him the first year because, you know, there's a lot of coaches that just have really, I'm trying to think of a word I can say that's bad enough yet is not bad enough to get me kicked off the radio. Let's start with something like asinine, if that's a word that's acceptable. If not, I'm going to get beeped or I'm going to get yelled at. But, I mean, the guy's just got, you know, many coaches have just got the most arrogant, backward personality that I've ever seen. And for some reason, they think being arrogant and mean and backward is what makes athletes work harder. Yet you see other coaches that are very successful that have great demeanors. So when I saw this guy, he'd come from the Patriots, which, you know, is a coach that has just the same backward, demeaning personality. And so he took on that mantra, and just like he was that guy. He actually thought he was Belichick. He acted like he thought he was Belichick. And I wonder how many other people out there in this world, and I'll just start with reasons people fail. I wonder how many other people out there in this world, you maybe, your friends, your relatives maybe, who grew up with someone around them that was a dominant, domineering, know-it-all piece of garbage that taught them everything in the world was about how hard you could push back and yell and scream and be tough and pound your chest. I wonder how many people come from that approach in life, that you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Because this guy, you know, the coach here, Bill, he had no skills. Now, it's funny when people, when you leave, how they remember, go, oh, he was a good guy, we really liked what he did, blah, 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 blah. But about 4 days ago, after the Texans had just gone 0-4 for the third time, after they just went 0-4, the audience, the radio people, the callers, the call-in people for the radio, on every station, were screaming for him to be fired. But what's interesting is, a year ago, everybody was screaming for him to be fired. What's even more interesting is, 2 years ago, everybody was screaming for him to be fired. And yet they just keep giving him another chance, another chance, another chance. And I wonder how many people in life out there, you, yourself, your friends, your relatives, just keep giving old ideas that don't work another chance. There's an old saying that's really very common out there, and that is, if you continue to do the same thing and expect to get a different result, that's defined as insanity. Now, there's many variations of the same saying that just comes off right now as the easiest one to remember. But think about it. You do it, it doesn't work. You do it again, it doesn't work. You read 3 self-help books on how to be motivated, and you get more motivated, and it doesn't work. So then you read 3 self-help books on time management. You got to get more done. And you do more and more and more, and it still doesn't work. And Bill O'Brien's answer to every loss they had, no matter how stupid it was, the things he did, was, well, we've just got to play harder. We've got to coach better. And that leads me to another belief, right? Vince Lombardi said it best when he said, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. And if you're practicing the wrong things, then you're going to fail. But Bill O'Brien had his theories. And in almost every other sport and every other coaching endeavor, if you have a terrible offensive line, you fire the offensive line coach and bring in one that can train up your people. You go get better people, and the same offensive line coach can train up better people and win, then you're fine with him. But if you bring in new people, and those new people are better than your old people, and the coach still can't train them up, then you fire that coach. Coaches out there in your life, your mother, your father, your pastor, your attorney, your CPA, your teachers, they've been trying to coach you up. And as you fail in life, you just keep going, well, I've just got to work harder. I've got to work smarter. I've got to coach up better. And it still doesn't win. You still don't win. And you know what? You're never going to win. You're never going to send me an email like that that said, hey, I retired. Because it ain't going to work. Your system just isn't going to work. So starting 5 years ago, every case study, which was once a month, I'd get up in front of 300 people and go and tell jokes about Bill O'Brien. And I'd call him the 9-7 coach. The 9-7 coach. I said, it doesn't matter how many superstars he has on a team. Each team, they'd bring on new superstars, incredible people. If we only had this guy, we'd get him. 9-7. If we only had this quarterback, we got him. 9-7. This guy's a 9-7 coach. And I would suggest to you that you're probably, in your life, a 9-7 person. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Del, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Have you ever asked yourself, am I a 9-7 person? You know, for 4 or 5 years now, I've complained every month about Bill O'Brien being a 9-7 coach. And Bill O'Brien had these excuses. They're just incredible excuses. And one of the things he would tell everybody whenever they'd interview him is that the NFL is a 50-50 league. It's designed for parity. It's designed for everything is equal. And, you know, I just wanted to get up and slap the guy in the face. It just was so disgusting he could even say that on the radio. Because life is a 50-50 life. Right? And just because you're 9-7... doesn't mean you've won. Let me give you the statistics that were given to me as a young lad. I think I heard it from my father, and then I heard it from other motivational books. But it basically works like this. If you just show up, you'll beat 75% of the people. In other words, you'll be a 9-7 person. If you just show up, get up in the morning, put your clothes on, and go out and do what you do. In life, you're better off than, you know, you're better off than 70% of the people out there. Because 70% of the people, you say, well, why do they fail? They fail because they don't even try. They don't even do anything. They don't even come to the game of life. Right? They don't even come to their job. They don't even come to their school. They don't even bring it to their marriage or to their raising their kids. They just don't bring it. Right? So you're better than 70% if you just bring it. Right? Now, if you show up and actually do what you're supposed to do, I mean, I'm not saying do it well. Just do it. So if you're a football team, if you just show up and block and tackle, forget about being superstar athletes. We're not talking about winning the Super Bowl. We're not even talking about winning a divisional title. We're talking about not being 0-4. We're talking about being at least 50-50 or at least, and most people are at least 85%. If you made all the blocks you're supposed to make, and if you made all the tackles you were supposed to make, you're going to win 85% of your games. You're going to be an 85% person. 85 and 15, not 9-7. You say, well, that's not true, Del. All these people are superstars. That doesn't mean that they're all bringing it. That doesn't mean they're showing up. And that doesn't mean they're doing what they're supposed to do. If you were to really watch a football game and then talk to some of the people that play it, most athletes take a couple downs off. They get tired. I mean, playing for a long time, especially if one team is dominating the other team, you get tired. And so you cut your effort level. You try to just survive. You're not bringing it. And so, you've got a team not bringing it. Now, what do you think helps create motivation and momentum in life? Well, that's success. And the more success you have, the more motivation and hence momentum you have towards becoming even better. But if you don't show up, and if you do the wrong things, you don't do what your job is, then you're going to become a loser. And if being a winner is motivational and creates momentum, being a loser is demotivational and eliminates and or retards momentum. Now, a guy like Coach O'Brien doesn't understand that. He's an idiot. I'd say it to his face. He is a loser and an idiot. I've been saying that now for 5 years, so don't think I'm just jumping on his back right now. Anybody wants to call in. In fact, because we're on a delay in Houston, there's no way the Houston people who would know I actually do this could call in. But the reality is, if you meet Lifestyles members, ask them, did Dell say this in case studies? And they'll say, yeah, every month. They probably got sick of me saying it. But I used it as an example. I was showing them that the family that owns the football team, and I won't say their name, but the family that owns the football team doesn't care about winning, or they would not have allowed this guy to maintain his position as the coach. In fact, they doubled down and made him not only the coach, but the general manager, where he did even more damage to the team. In fact, probably irreversible damage for years he did to the team. Now, I'm asking you, if these ideas you've been living by are 9-7 ideas, you're living a 9-7 life, then to go try to do something that is a touchdown, we're going to go for the long ball, we're going to go for the Hail Mary of life. Do you think it's going to work? No, because you can't even block and tackle. That Hail Mary is going to break down because you can't even block and tackle right. So what is it that's creating these problems? Well, I've wrote some things down here. And the first one I have off the top, I think I've covered a little bit, but we'll go back into it. And that is insanity. The dude is insane. Well, you're insane. What do I mean by that? You get up every day and do the same thing. Yet you expect that somehow life is going to get better. It's not going to get better. You're not going to vote in a better president, a better Congress. They can't take the marbles on the table and rearrange them in any manner where everybody's going to be happy. There are only so many marbles on the table. And either you're out there being someone who's creating new marbles to make things better for everybody, or you're just rearranging the marbles, which means a zero-sum gain in life. You're taking from one person to give to another person. You're not producing anything. You're not benefiting anybody except the people you want to, and you're injuring other people instead. And so your net effect is you are a charlatan. Yeah, you are. Politicians, I'm talking to you. Thank you very much. You're not doing anything to make the world better. If I retire an extra 200 people this year who would not have retired this year, I'm not rearranging the marbles. I'm not taking the marbles out of that guy's pocket who would have retired, but he can't now because my guy retired. I'm creating a whole new atmosphere, a whole new resource, a whole new set of businesses that produce for everybody. All the stakeholders, who are they? They are the customer. They are the employee. They are the shareholders of the ownership of the company. They are the owner, the head owner of the company, and they are the vendors, and they are the taxes and taxing authorities that get paid by this. Think of all of these people that benefit by us opening and running this great business. They're all benefiting. We're not taking the marbles from one, giving it to another. And yet, the insanity of continuing to think that's how you make life better is the insanity that is destroying this country today. I'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about why some people are 9-7 players. On the show, what was the name of the movie? I can't remember the movie, where it was about the football. Never mind. It'll come to me later. The reality is that I've written down a couple of reasons why I think that people fail in life, and I'm paralleling it with the story that just happened this week where Bill O'Brien, the coach for the Houston Texans, got fired after 6 years of should have been fired every year he'd ever been here. And so, you know, you just come to the end and you wonder, why is it at the end you look back and go, why did we keep this guy, when you can see position after position after position of failure? And one of the things that this guy did wrong, which I think most unsuccessful people do, is that he let his ego get involved in his choice of people to surround yourself. One of the things you need to do if you're going to go on, and I talked about it, if you show up for the game, you're 75% there. If you just do your job, you're 85% there. But the next level then is you have to have the skill to be better than that, right? You have to have the skill. And if you go to the skill level equation, you talk about this. Your life success can only be as large as the accumulation of resources around you, and most importantly of those resources is other people. So I have bad people around me for years, and I just couldn't bring myself to get rid of them because they had started with me, and they were really bad. And finally, I had to decide, if I'm not going to stay small and stay inconsequential, I've got to go get good people, which means I got to get people better than me. But what happens is in life is we grow up with this theory that we're the best that there is. I don't know if it's our, I think it's our ego, to be honest with you, but I don't know for sure what it is, but there's, maybe it's our ego. It could probably be ego either direction. I'll tell you what I mean by that. It could be ego in that we really truly believe we're the best at everything. And nobody can do anything as well as we do. And if we don't do it, it won't get done right. I mean, that's a, you know, a mantra we hear all the time. But it could be the other way around. It could be lack of self-esteem, knowing that if I bring in somebody better than me, they won't need me. They'll probably get rid of me. And so when you go to work anywhere, you just go into any convenience store, go into any fast food place. If you go to that fast food place and the manager of the fast food place is a black person, everybody in there is black. If the manager of that location is a Hispanic person, everybody in that location is Hispanic. If the manager of that location is Indian, everybody in that location is an Indian. I saw this when I was going to Wells Fargo, and I noticed it because Wells Fargo was predominantly supervised and managed by Indians. Each location would be predominantly Indians, not American Indians, but Indians from India. But then I noticed that there was a slight difference. So you would see a little bit different selection. Like I went to one Wells Fargo and the manager was Asian. So the predominance, the preponderance of people there were Asians. And it's only that people hire those people they understand, they can communicate with, and or at or below their stature in life. They don't want people better than them. Well, Bill O'Brien could not keep good people. And one of the things that he did was, just his personality was, you have to be under my thumb. I am the holiest of holy. You can't talk at press conferences. You can't have opinions about life. You can't have anything other than what we call team talk, coach talk. And when they'd interview people, even people as brilliant as J.J. Watt, he'd give them coach talk. And I just, it used to bug the crap out of me because, you know, you'd really like to ask those athletes, what did you think? Why did you have a great game or why did you have a bad game? You want them to tell you some inside stuff, right? They won't tell you anything. Coach talk. It's all the team. Well, how do you think you're going to do this year? I'm going to do the best I can to help the team. Well, do you think you're going to have a good year? You feel good? I always feel good as long as I'm helping the team. Now, you understand what I'm saying. This is ignorant stuff. But this is the way and the kind of people that coaches like Bill O'Brien want. They want patsies for their team. Not somebody can stand up and tell you something's wrong. I mean, I've had knockdown dragouts with some of my employees. Not in a mean way. Not, but in the way of, I don't agree with you, Dell. And I go, okay, let's go through it. Let's hunker down. And I call it fight about it, but really it's just argue, negotiate, get across your ideas. But if you don't do that, you're never going to get to the winning team. And more importantly, you got to hire people that are better than you. I have people in positions at this company that do things I can't even tell you how to do it. I can't even tell you how they do it. I have no idea how they get done, but they get done very, very well. And luckily, I have a executive vice president that is from corporate America, so she knows how to hire those kinds of people. And she and I can at least together communicate and go, I don't think we're getting the result we need. Let's get somebody else. Or, man, that's great results. Or, hey, let's just give them some new ideas and let's try a different plan. But you have to have better people. Now, one of the things that keeps people from having better people is greed. I want all the marbles. Remember we were talking about the marble distribution a minute ago? I want all the marbles. And so to get somebody that is good enough to replace you and allow you to expand your circle of influence, is what Tony Robbins calls it, to be able to expand the size of the world that you were able to control, you have to have people better than you. But you can't get those people for nothing. You know, a guy told me something way back when I first started working. I'd go in the health club, and I'd go, gosh, these people that we have are idiots working for us. And on and on and on. I was always complaining that guys just didn't care. They didn't work hard enough. They're all muscle heads. You know, they just had no business sense, blah, 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 whatever my complaint was. And my boss would just sit there and stare at me and listen to me. And then he'd go, okay, shut up. And then he'd say, look, if these people were any better, Dell, I wouldn't need you. Be thankful these people aren't better than you. And you know, that kind of mindset was what kept that company down and eventually what made it go bankrupt. And bankrupt after I left, I'm not saying it was because of me, but I'm just saying it was kind of thought process that bankrupt that company was. You can't have really good people or you'd have to pay them. Or they might, if they were that good, leave and go open their own business. I have a saying at Lifestyles, and I have forever, is that a couple of things are very important. One of them is that if you're here 5 years from now, after being around a company that teaches people to retire in 5 years or less, and you're inside of that company and you're here after 5 years, then one of two things is true. One, you really shouldn't be here because you really don't know what we do because you're not doing it. Or two, if you have been doing it while you've been here, then you should be rich. And because you're now rich because of what you learned here, you only have the reason to stay is because you want to teach. And you might hear the complaint now and then, well, I've been here for 10 years. Why don't I get a raise? I go, there are no raises at Lifestyles. There's no such thing as a raise at Lifestyle. Right? Why? Because you can only work 8 hours a day. If you work more than that, I'll fire you. So we can't have more of your time. We're assuming you're already giving us the best of your time, the smartest part of your brain to come to work with. So nothing ever really gets better. Go, well, I am worth more now than I was when I first started. Go, yes, you are worth more, but the job you're doing is not. So the only way you get paid more at Lifestyles is to go to a better job, and to get there, you have to be good enough to go. So you see, I'll take the great people and put them right at the top. There's no demand that you start at the bottom. There's no demand. But there is a demand that you know what you're doing. And there is a demand that if you're going to be here, that you know how to help other people do what they need to learn to do. And so I can hire very, very, very strong people, people way stronger than myself, because they're not out there wanting to start their own business. So look, you're going to lose by one of two ways. You're going to have people that are not smart enough to own their own business, and hence you got losers. Or you're going to have people that are smart enough to have their own business, but just would rather be retired and work at a job that they enjoy doing, helping other people. Now, that works in every business. You don't have to have people that want to make a career out of it. Even at the kid level, where you hire high school kids, you can make it be fun to do whatever it is they do, let them get paid minimum wage or whatever they're getting paid, and they know that it's not going to be a career. But the smart ones are there because they want to be. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Del Walmsley on Designing a Lifestyle.
When I was younger, I decided that I was not going to live the life that the average person lived, which was to think I was going to work for the end of my life, save up enough money, and then when I'm old and gray like I am now, try to buy my life back with a pile of money that I had. I said, no, I'm going to design a life and I'm going to live that life. That's it. Period.
Are you ready to design your life? Learn how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Back to the last segment. Today we've been talking about the types of things that create failures, and we've been really paralleling it along with what happened this week with the coach of the Houston Texans, Bill O'Brien, getting fired after 6 years. For the last 5 years, I've been getting up every single month telling people he should have been fired a long time ago. Because why? Because his attitude. He's a 9-7 player. He believes that 9-7 is good. He believes that it's a 50-50 world, that if you beat 50%, if you're better than 50% of the people, you're something. And that's just not the kind of guy that's going to create a Super Bowl ring. There's no way. It's the guy's been wrong for 6 years. He's been wrong the second I heard him talk, the first time I heard him speak. So we've been going over today the things that he does wrong and the things that most people do wrong. I'm going to go to the next one right now, and that is to have no plan or the wrong plan. Bill O'Brien has the wrong plan. He has absolutely no idea what he's doing. I've never seen a coach that had a worse offensive game plan ever. He has a terrible defensive game plan. He's got great players in different parts. For the 6 years he's been here, he's gone through massive number of superstars. He just can't play. He can't set up a game plan that works. And over and over and over, people have pointed this out. They've known that for 6 years. His game plan doesn't work. It's the wrong plan. So here you are in life. You've got the wrong game plan. It was given to you by your parents. It was given to you by your teachers in this socialistic educational system that's out there today. It was given to you by your boss, who has told you this is the way to act if you want to get ahead. It's been given to you by everybody, your friends, relatives, family, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't work. Some of you have no plan at all. I'll tell you what, I've got some kids, and we know some kids, and you talk to kids today, and not all of them. I know some great kids, but I know some kids that have no plan. They have no plan for life. None. They just figure they'll keep floating along until something happens. And it's amazing. No plan or the wrong plan. Bill O'Brien had the wrong plan. Game after game, year after year, he just had a terrible game plan. Does a terrible game plan get you some results? Yes. What does it get you? 9-7. What is your plan got you? 9-7. What are you? You're a 75%er. Maybe you're an 85%er because you actually do your job. Now, if you did your job well, if you were the best guy doing your job, you're going to be a 95%er. But you're not going to be a superstar because that takes perfection to be the best, to be number one. Nelly says it best. I am number one. Two is not a winner, and three no one remembers. The only thing anybody remembers is number one. Who took second in the Super Bowl 10 years ago? No one even remembers. Right? So the plan is important. Bill O'Brien had no plan. I suggest most people I run into have no plan or a really faulty plan about how to become successful, and that's why they can't send me a letter like the one the guy started the show off with that I retired in 1 year after coming to your program. The next one is procrastination. This is one of my greatest inhibits. It inhibits me because I like to procrastinate. Being a type B personality, I'd rather analyze stuff than do it because I just don't really want to do it. Now, when I really did want to do it, I could break procrastination. Sorry, they worked earlier today. I could break through procrastination with desire. You know, you can sit there and have a perfect plan, be in perfect health, be very smart, and still fail because you just won't take action. You just won't get out there and do that. And I was noticing that because I'm looking into new businesses now. I own 11 different businesses. I purchased another business last week, so I'm going to, this one I haven't closed yet, but I'll have 12 businesses. And I'm looking to add probably four or five more businesses. It's just, I came up with the goal to do, just to see if I can do it and get some different types of businesses just to see, you know, what it's like to own different kinds of businesses. So that became a goal. And at one time, I had like three of them under contract at the same time, and then something came up, and I rethought it, and I go, there's something I learned. I didn't even think about that one. So I dumped out of that one. I dumped out of another one for another reason, and I kept one. I've got one coming. But then I go, well, I could go right back into two more contracts, and then I go, man, I'm lucky I didn't buy these other two because I hadn't thought it through correctly, and I might have made a mistake, and now I can just take the time because I got one new one. We'll kind of play with it and see how it works and learn from it and grow from it and then make our next decision. Is there anything wrong with that? No. That's a very analytical, conservative way to approach life. Will it get me to the maximum potential I could have in life? Not even close. Not even close. I could go out right now and buy 10 businesses. I have enough money to buy 10 businesses easily, maybe even 20. But the reality is that, wow, let's go for the big word. Where's the motivation? You know, if you have everything you want in life, there's no motivation. But yet I know tons of people that don't have everything in life they want. I've got an excuse for no motivation now, although I've had lacks of motivation throughout my life. Because every time you hit a new milestone, you go, man, I'm higher than I've ever been before. God, smell that air up here. It's incredible. Then you go, all right, let's go higher. I go, well, why? Let's just stay and smell the roses for a while. And so there's no motivation to go further. And then after a while, even these roses become stale and you want to go somewhere else. But motivation is important. And a lot of people either don't have it or they lose it. Motivation is a terrible thing. Or maybe it's more like what Zig Ziglar said. Motivation is like taking a bath. You got to do it every day or it doesn't work. It doesn't work to do it just once. You can't get just hyped up on New Year's Eve and say, hey, here's my New Year's resolution. We're going to go make things happen. You've got to get out of bed every day and drink a cup of motivation and get excited about what you're doing. Or motivation doesn't work. But I'll tell you what I've found to work in life. It's called inspiration. Inspiration is when I look across the room, the yard, the city, the state, the nation, and I see something or somebody that's doing it better than I am. And I get inspired to work smarter, to work harder, to hire more people, to hire better people. And just flat create more in this world. Why? Not for more money. No, don't need any more money. Why? For the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
For listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.